Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Noble Knight Games, where satisfaction is guaranteed. Since 1997, Noble Knight Games has been serving gamers' needs globally. They stock over 100,000 new and out-of-print board games, role-playing games, CCGs, minis, and war games. They have it all. Noble Knight Games always deliver what they promise. Speedy shipping coupled with excellent and friendly customer service makes shopping here a no-brainer. You'll find discounted pricing on most imprint games and reasonable prices on out-of-print and rare items. With over 15 years in the business, they know how to package your order so it arrives safely anywhere in the world. Want to transform your old games into that new item you've had your eye on? Check out their trading and selling your game section. They provide the shipping labels, you box up your games, and that's it. Don't forget to sign up for their weekly email newsletter where you can discover new and rare finds. Visit them online at noblenight.com. Welcome back to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. This is episode 86. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network talking about historical and New England gaming. On episode 86, I am delighted to say that I have the one and only Angela Parento, who is the promotional director for Total Confusion. So, Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. I'm glad to be here.
Listeners who've been around for a while might recall that last year for TotalCon 26, we talked with you for the very first time, and it was a delight to have you on that episode.
Thank you. Glad I did well.
I know, not to toot my own horn, but I know since then our listenership has grown, so there's going to be new listeners. And why don't you introduce us to what TotalCon is? And I know this year is the 27th year of TotalCon, but why don't you talk a little bit about what TotalCon is and tell us how awesome it is.
Okay. Well, TotalCon is New England's largest tabletop gaming convention. We have been around for actually 29 years. It actually started out as MassCon for 2 years. And we specialize in tabletop gaming, board games, miniature games, role-playing games. We have a young player area now just for the kids. That's under the direction of a middle school teacher, Bruce Hiru, which is really nice. And we have exhibitors, vendors. Now we've started to add in panels and movies and podcasts and stuff like that to give everybody a more well-rounded gaming experience. And people seem to be responding. The convention's been growing for the last few years. It's been phenomenal.
I know with this year that you ran out of table space, even though there were people who wanted to, they got in a little late. They should have got on the ball, but they came in a little late and wanted to run events, and you ran out of table space. That's fantastic.
It is and it isn't. It's always tough to turn away people, but it is very cool in the fact that the convention is growing that way. And this year we have a couple of special new bigger tournaments coming in, which also help chew up some of the table space that we usually have available.
I think one of them is being run, I think, by one of the co-sponsors, Euromove Games. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it's the Battleground Fantasy Warfare Championship. We're very excited. They've been with us for the last few years, and last year they didn't come in, but they're back, and this time they've actually brought their championship with them, and they're having some phenomenal prizes. First place gets $500 in cash and gold-plated dice, and it goes down from there. But in addition, they're also offering new players a chance to win decks and stuff. So anybody that wants to come in and check it out and play test, you have a chance to win their game as well, which I think is awesome.
When I got in touch with your husband, but we'll come back to him and a little bit later, but when I got in touch with your husband, I was like, you know, Steve, I want to submit an event, because last year, a couple buddies of mine, Adrian and Court, and I, we ran a historical game event at TotalCon, and we were surprised. We actually honestly had really low expectations, because as much as we love TotalCon, we don't think of it as a historical gaming kind of convention. More RPGs and board games and very family-friendly. So yes. We thought, oh, you know, we'll run the event, and we'll be happy if one person shows up. Well, two people pre-registered. We maxed out people. We had to turn people away. People came and were watching, and it was really, really cool. So we said, let's do it again next year. So, of course, this year comes, and with the planning, don't you know, all the planning comes smack into the middle of when my wife and I are looking for a house and doing all that kind of stuff. So we did all that, and then I submitted the event, and your husband was like, we have a lot of tournaments. You mind pushing it back because we need the table space? And one of the main tournaments was the one being done by Your Move Games. So at the time, I was like, of course, you know, we'll move it, whatever. And I'm thinking, stupid Your Move Games making us move our table. But the funny thing is, maybe 2 or 3 weeks after your husband and I corresponded about all that, the owner of Your Move Games got in touch with me because I guess he found out about this podcast as a result of Tom Vassell over at the Dice Tower and hearing them talk about TotalCon and then seeing our graphical link that you kindly have up on the TotalCon site. So he kind of clicked on it, which means it works. So that was fantastic. Yes. And he's like, how about we get together and have lunch? Because I want to tell you about our games and get together a little more. So it was really cool that as a result of all this and the move and everything, all that kind of stuff, being able to have someone like him reach out to me and so that we can talk. And it's going to be, I'm sure I'll get some audio for a future episode. So really, the fact that you have all these extra tournaments and stuff coming, which is fantastic for the con, but then the byproduct of that is, like, at least with me anyway, it kind of dribbled down over so that it's going to help to have more content being talked about with the con and more people talking about it, because now I'll have something else to talk about on a future episode, and yet again I'll be able to say TotalCon and TotalCon and maybe raise a little more awareness, which I don't know how much I'll be able to do, but just being able to do any little bit makes me really happy.
Yeah, well, the best thing in the world as a promotional director, you know, is word of mouth from people. And the last few years we've noticed a wonderful amount of networking being done at the convention now between the industry guests, stores, the exhibitors coming in. And it's very exciting. It's one of the more gratifying aspects of my job is to see all the connections that are being made afterwards and how people are coming together to work on projects and seeing the podcast and, you know, hearing our name getting mentioned out there as a result, that comes back on us. I've actually sold out on almost all our sponsorship levels this year. They're like, oh my God, how many ads do you have?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but I think that's a direct result of having more podcasts, having more industry guests, and like you said, people just talking about it and mentioning it. It's getting out there, and it's very exciting.
I'm sure this is I know this is something you can relate to, and it's probably going to be a little odd here and come out of my mouth as someone who podcasts, but I'm really a shy kind of person. I'm not someone who's going to walk up to a complete stranger, say, hey, how are you? I'm so-and-so, and what are you doing? I'm very introverted, and I know you're, which is kind of odd, being a promotional director, that you are, I think, a little shy too, but yet you come out of your shell, and it's fantastic.
I do. I am very introverted, which is a little bit different than shy. I need my alone time, and sometimes it is difficult for me to talk to people, but over time, I've challenged myself to do a little bit more and a little bit more, and I've always been rewarded for it. You know, awesome people. I'm back every year for the people, you know, the friends that you make, the industry guests you meet. I just can't say enough. I absolutely love it.
My first time going to TotalCon was TotalCon 25, and I was really shy. I was like, I'm going to go, and I'll be under the radar. And even at the day of, I was like, maybe I don't want to go. Maybe, you know, it's outside my comfort zone for me to go and, like, interact with all these people. Maybe I'll just stay here at home, and I paid, but that's okay. But, like, I went, and I was really shy, and I got to meet you after conversing with you via email. And then going to the panels really has been perhaps, other than running events, has been my favorite aspect of the con. So there was a couple panels, and I don't even remember the names of them, but I remember one person in particular really stood out for me, and his name is Ben Gerber. And it's funny because from that time and asking a couple questions, and then just after the panel, I remember going up to him and be like, Ben, that was awesome. Thanks. And I'm sure at the time he was like, who the heck is this kid and why is he running out the door?
Yeah.
And then like the next con met up and had dinner with him. And now working with them for Trolling the Corner, and we started up this podcast network, and just like you said, all that network, and the same thing with quite a few other people, Blix, and just so many other people. And I know this year, what I was planning, what I want to do at the con, because not only do I like to talk about the con and run an event at it, I like to go and get really involved with all the different stuff. And like, I'm looking at, I have an Excel sheet with, okay, I'm going to this event and this, but I'm finding I'm not really registering for events as much as scheduling a lot of downtime so I can hang out with the people.
Yep. That's what I do when I go to other conventions, that is.
Well, it must be kind of interesting when you're able to go to other conventions nearby so you can get ideas for what they do that you like, what they do that you don't like, and you probably subconsciously are, of course you're going there to have fun, but subconsciously you're probably thinking, well, we do this at TotalCon, and this is way cooler, or, oh, that's a great idea, maybe we should think about this down the road, or all sorts of different stuff.
Well, actually, yes, that's exactly what I do. Because when I first started out, I didn't know a whole lot, so I went to a lot of different conventions just to see what they do. And anything I do or anything anybody thinks that I'm doing and doing well is probably an imitation of somebody else that I've seen along the way. And what I like, what I think other people would like, and so far it seems to be working. So, you know, I have a lot of people out there to thank for it, people at OGC and Carnage and Gen Con and stuff. You know, there's a lot of very talented people out there, and I steal from the best.
Well, they say imitation is the best form of flattery. So clearly you're taking the great stuff that other people are doing, coming up with great stuff of your own, I'm sure. And I bet you're inspiring other people who are coming to TotalCon and seeing the cool things that you and the other people who are on the board, what you're all doing, and then taking some cool ideas and bring it back to their own local events as well.
Right. And this year, my big challenge is there's supposed to be a panel, and we'll see if it goes off, on how to run a convention. And I'm supposed to sit on that. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I saw that in the event list, and I thought, you know, I don't really want to run a convention, but that'd be kind of interesting to do. Well, now that I know you're going to be on the panel, I think I'll take an extra effort to try to register for that.
Oh, that's okay.
No, you'll be great. I know you will.
Yeah.
Going to TotalCon is really cool because some of these conventions are so huge, like Anime Boston, for example. I went for the first and last time, actually, the second year that they did it, and it was awesome, but it was too big, really, for me to really enjoy all of it, whereas TotalCon, it's very popular, and it's getting larger, but at the same time, it feels like one gigantic kind of family.
Yeah, I believe that's true. Now that I've gone to some of the bigger shows, and I still attend some of the other smaller conventions, I think we're a nice mix, because you still can actually talk to industry guests and have them run events with you and share stories with you. But at the same time, I think there's enough to fill a whole weekend, you know? But yeah, the big shows can get a little bit overwhelming. My first couple of years at Gen Con were definitely, I was like, wow. And I still haven't explored everything there yet, but I have enough friends and contacts out there now that it's a little bit more fun. So I still get a little bit of the close family feel, but it's still big and overwhelming at the same time.
You were mentioning about how you can get a chance to talk to some of these industry guests. So this year in Total Confusion 27, who are some of the guest highlights?
Oh my God.
I know there's a laundry list.
Yeah, there is. We're very happy that Frank Mentzer is returning this year. He wasn't able for personal reasons to come last year, but he's fully back on board. Yay. Tim Kask, Mark Edwards, James Carpio, Tom Vassell, and Eric Summerer from the Dice Tower. You know, they're awesome guys. And Jim Reed from Not Just Another Gaming Podcast. David Miller, who came out last year, he's an artist. Wonderful guy. He had brought his son with him. I enjoyed meeting him. And of course, Blix, Jay Libby, Andre Krupa, Ben. You know, we have a new one, Michael Curtis, this year. And he did the Dungeon Alphabet. And we have a new one, Brian Johnson. And he's a local guy. He's been coming for a few years, but he's also a board game designer. You know, Ben, Brad Uni. Brad's been coming for a few years. Love him. Nick Palmer is new this year. He's Dr. Nick from Carnage. And he's actually starting up a new company. I think it's called Panic Productions. And I apologize to Nick if I'm saying that wrong. Jeff Talayan is coming back. Don Higgins coming back. So, I mean, the list is growing, and we're very excited. There's going to be some really cool things happening with these guys coming up.
I know, just even from the people who are carrying over from previous years, that just being able to hear them at the panels and see them when they run in the games and just kind of run into them playing games. Like, there was one game last year I played in, a local guy was running. It was an Access and Allies War at Sea game. And Tom Vassell, he was just making rounds, and he's like, I'm going to play this. And he came up, and he was such a joy to play against. And just being able to interact with him so informally, that you have all these cool industry guests that you can play in a game that Frank Mensah is going to run, and you just get to sit next to him. And how awesome is that?
It's unbelievably awesome. I mean, it's one of the things I enjoy the most. It's so weird, but to say that I know how Frank Mensah and Tim Kask proposed to their wives, you know, and hear some of the stories from the beginning days of things, you know, is really cool. And then to see up and coming guys like James Carpio and the new things that he's doing. And it's just amazing to watch them and see guys get recognition for what they're doing. You know, it's a good time.
I know you in particular have a really cool thing that one of these great industry guests has done, where they've created a character based on you, I believe.
Yeah, that was Frank. His new company, Eldred Ent, which he started with Tim Kask, Jim Ward, and Christopher Clark, just released their first new products in like decades in the fall, and he has a new book coming out. It's a Lich Dungeon. And yeah, he asked to use my likeness and a slight corruption of my name as a NPC character. And he actually sent me the PDF of what's going to be coming out on the book. And yeah, just that, I think, is the number one geeky thrill of my life, is to be thought of in that manner and to be included in such a way. It's unbelievable. And I will force him to sign it for me when
you
it comes
to.
Out. Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Oh, that is beyond belief. That's so cool.
Yeah. So Tim Kask and Frank Mensah will have Eldridge Enterprises in the vendor hall this year, selling those new products and the releases that just came out like a week ago, which is very cool. And Friday night at dinner time, we're hoping to have an Eldridge Ent insider forum where you can talk to these guys about their new company and what's coming out and what they hope to do with the company in the future. So I think that's going to be that's one of the highlights that I'm looking forward to this year.
I know one of the really cool things that's going to be happening in the vendor hall, and probably maybe outside of it as well, is that people, con attendees, can go and purchase Gygax magazine. Isn't that correct?
It is correct. And that is the second biggest thrill that I'm like totally out of my head about. Gygax magazine was just released a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago in New York. And the publisher, Jason Elliott, is going to be coming in. And on Saturday, the magazine will be available in the vendor hall. And they're also going to be having an insider forum, because Tim Kask is an editorial director. James Carpio is responsible for the gaming content in the magazine. Our industry guest, Michael Curtis, is also a contributor as well. And there's a couple other local guys that I'm hoping to snag in for the day to come in for an insider forum that's going to be hosted during the lunch hour. Very exciting, because I've actually watched the launch party and the magazine looks phenomenal. It's so cool to see the resurrection of, you know, the Gygax name and the magazine and stuff. And they talk that it's not just going to be old school. It's going to be any cool game that they can see out there. You know what I mean? They want it to encompass everything. If it's good, they want it. So I thought that was brilliant, and I'm very much looking forward to that.
I hope they bring enough copies so everyone can buy it.
Yeah, me too. I do know that there were a few put aside for some special people that asked for them, but yeah, and them too. They better be prepared, because I'm going to have my pen out.
Oh, geez, yeah, definitely. There's going to be lines around the block.
Yeah, I cannot tell you what an honor it is to have Eldridge Enterprises and Gygax magazine in our hall, you know, just when they're releasing stuff like that. For the New England area, that's just huge. very exciting.
And there's a lot of great vendors in that vendor hall. There always have been since I've been going. I know this is just a couple of the highlights, but what are some of the other vendors like in the vendor hall?
We have a pretty steady group of local stores from Maine down to Massachusetts, and they all tend to work really well with each other. We have Modern Myths, we have Rivendell Books, Greenfield Games, Foam Brain Games, and Crossroad Games, and Dragon's Lair, and they try to balance out what each other brings. So there's a good selection of role-playing stuff, there's a good selection of miniature stuff, t-shirts, and, you know, nice crafty things. So I think it's a really good blend in there. And this year also we'll have Z-Pocalypse from Greenbrier Games. They'll be in there selling their new game, and of course the Eldritch Ent and Gygax magazine. And in addition to the Eldritch Ent, Don Higgins, who did the artwork for Frank Mentzer, will also be at that table selling his artwork, as well as the games from Eldritch Ent.
He has fantastic artwork. He does just such a great job with everything.
He does, and he's been doing the artwork for our t-shirts for the last few years. I've been very happy with his work to date. I think he's talented, and he does a web comic, and good guy. I personally happen to like him very much.
As a result of the vendor hall, I ended up following Crossroad Games on Facebook, and it turns out they're not too far away from a con I won't be able to attend this year. But in years past, my wife and I, around our anniversary, we go up to Portland, Maine, and there's a historical gaming convention up there, and Crossroad Games is like not more than 10 minutes away from where the convention has been. So I keep on telling them one of these days is when we're up there, I'm going to be popping in and seeing what they're up to, like see what the actual storefront is instead of just the pictures that they have online.
Yeah. And Brendan is a really nice guy. I enjoyed him. He came in for the first time last year and he's returning, and we're very excited about that.
He's very, very friendly, very easygoing. You can approach him, and all of the people in the vendor hall, everyone, period, very approachable, very friendly, very open. So yeah, it does have that family feel, but it's not insular. It's not clicky.
Right. Not at all. They, like I said, they all work wonderfully together. I enjoy the guys, and I'm so glad that they return every year.
So what are some of the other highlights for you that are going to be happening at the con this year?
One of the biggest, which I think your listeners would be of particular interest in, is the Nova Open Invitational Qualifier, which is a 40K event, and the winner gets a VIP pass to the Nova Open that's going to be happening later this year. And I guess from what I hear, that because I'm not too big on the 40K stuff, I don't know their stuff so well, but it's a huge deal. They're actually rolling out the terrain as we speak. Matter of fact, I have some pieces downstairs in my living room that have been painted this past weekend and the weekend coming up. So we're very excited about that because it's a pretty big deal to the 40K guys in the Battleground Fantasy Warfare tournament. Another big thing that we always have is the INGM competition.
Yep.
Which is a very big draw now for the role-playing guys. And just, you know, the RPGA and Pathfinder, we always get the latest mods and the battle interactives for them. Mark Edwards, one of our industry guests, he actually premieres his living campaign, the Guild of St. Marcos, at our convention. All his mods start their new year off at our event. So that's really cool. And just Blixapalooza is coming our way.
I have to give a plug for Cube of Death because this last year I got to watch it happen. And then this year I don't know how I got bribed or blackmailed into it, but I'm actually participating in it. So people can see me in all my stupidity as I fail to answer geek trivia questions in the Cube of Death this year. But it was such a fun event to watch last year. So I'm glad he's not only doing that again, but he's doing his live readings, and then there's going to be the live episode of Tri-Tac Games, and of course the live episode of the Dice Tower earlier in the day on Friday.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to all the podcasty kind of stuff. Those, and then is it Sunday morning? I think it's Podcasting 1.0. I'm looking forward to going to that and seeing what sort of tips and tricks I can pick up from some of the other guys.
Yep, absolutely. You know, Blix is a fun guy, and he gets a great razzing for his Cuba death from Tim Kask. But, you know, I think it's a fun event, and he's not only giving prize to contestants, but also to people in the audience. So you don't want to miss it. You want to show up for that because it's your chance to win prizes just for watching a cool event.
I'm lucky enough that he sent me a promo copy of his Cuba death a while back, and I talked about it. I don't remember if I did it here on Wargaming Recon, which I probably did, or if I did it on my other show, Geeks Explicitly, and I talked about it a little bit and about the cards and stuff. So I'm hoping, crossing fingers, that quite a few of those cards are going to appear so I can just study them like crazy. But I'm sure he has special decks made up for the convention and everything.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let me tell you, he really tested people's knowledge of gaming and geek trivia.
Last year, some of his questions, I thought he like just made them up because I hadn't heard of any of some of the stuff. I was just like, really? Where'd you get that? And he'd read them and he was like, this is the answer. I'm like, no, it's not. It is. It had to pull it up on my iPhone. I'm looking it up. He's right. It is that. It was really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, he's very thorough with the stuff he does. I'm very impressed with him. So show up. It'll be a good time.
I, of course, have to give a big plug to my event, which is going to be on the Saturday. It starts at 7 until 11. It's event M-033, Battle of Freeman's Farm. Historical yes. Gaming, using the black powder rules. It'll be a lot of fun. Come. You don't need to bring anything. We are providing it all, the terrain. We have all the scenery, the models, everything. We'll teach you sort of how to play. It's very introductory and easygoing. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to seeing the setup because when I go to miniature conventions, I am amazed at some of the work that the historical guys do. It's beautiful stuff, absolutely beautiful. And I actually had to Google that battle so I could learn what it was about. So I got a little history lesson there.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah, I'm actually excited to check it out myself.
I'm very interested in the American Revolution, or as it's known in wargaming, the American War of Independence, mainly because most people who do historical gaming are in England, and I think they may be a little sore about how that went. I don't know. So I think they try to downplay that it was a revolution. But I did actually some research on it, too, to look at the maps and everything, and I wish I could take credit for how awesome the models are going to look and how awesome the terrain is. But sadly, because of all the timing with everything, it happened to coincide, all that prep work, with when my wife and I were looking for our house and moving into the house. So my two buddies, Court and Adrian, get tons of props from me. If it looks as amazing as I know it is, and if everyone's impressed with it, they really need a, you just need to give them like a round of applause, because they've been working straight out, hard at work in their basements, getting the terrain together, making it, painting everything, and they're just amazing people. So they're fantastic, and they've just been working really, really hard on it. And I'm like, do you know what? I can't do that, but I'm going to promote the shit out of it and just go all out and post it on Facebook and on Twitter and, of course, podcasts and everywhere else. So I'm hoping people are going to come to that. Last year, like I said, we had low expectations, and even then we were kind of worried that we wouldn't get enough, and then we're full. This year, of course, we're worried because, I mean, we worry every year is what it is. But it's a later time slot, so we hope people are like, oh, you know, 7 o'clock, we're going to get some more stuff in before we go and party or whatever, and not just be like, oh, the day's over, let's go home. So I'm hoping people are going to stick around and head on over for the 7 o'clock slot.
Well, I'll do my best to try to get people there. But like I said, when you start putting out some really cool looking terrain, the miniature guys just come. They want to see. They want to check it out. They love that stuff. And so my photographer will be there as well, taking pictures. So your efforts will not have been in vain.
Last year, I remember you telling me, oh, don't worry. You get the stuff out and people are going to see. And I thought, I don't know, I think she's just trying to make me feel better. But it was true. Every bit of what you said was completely true. And like I said, a couple people pre-registered, but most of them that came over are like, oh, that looks pretty neat. How do we play? Well, give me your ticket and I'll tell you how.
Yes. That's the way it is with miniature guys. A lot of them, at least at TotalCon, don't pre-register. A lot of them just come in on site for the one or two games that they like to play. But as soon as you put out some cool-looking terrain, the ones that are there that are interested will migrate over and check out what you got going on, because we actually do have some guys there that are historical miniature players, even though that may not be why they show up for our convention. But they're there and they want to check it out. And I have to, that's the one thing about smaller local conventions that I do like better than the bigger ones. Our miniature games are 10 times better than anything I've seen at some of the bigger events. Because a lot of the guys are just afraid to bring in all that stuff to a huge event. So the smaller historical miniature conventions that I've been to in the local area, it just blows Gen Con away.
Yeah, I've never been to Gen Con, but I've been to a smaller, long-time-running historical minis convention out in Western Mass, and then one up in Maine. And the stuff that they bring, scratch-build things that they just come up, it's fantastic. They go all out. It's some of the nicest-looking stuff I've ever seen.
Yeah, because I've been to Havoc and Huzzah.
Okay, I didn't want to mention names, but yeah, definitely.
Why not? They deserve the props just as much. And let me tell you, I've been to both of them, and some of the stuff is absolutely beautiful. The workmanship compared to the cardboard stuff I see out at Gen Con, because they're afraid of people touching their stuff.
I mean, I can understand that, too. Yes, you know, you put a lot of time in. And you can actually get some really cool, good quality print-and-play terrain and models that you can use for stuff. But when you go to a con, I like to see the really cool, fancy stuff that you can never fit on your table at home or at your local game store. You really need the gigantic con space. You need that ballroom in the hotel to be able to put all the crap out.
Absolutely. And that's probably one of the biggest reasons right now that we don't pursue miniatures super huge at Total Con is because miniatures does take up so much room, and our boards and role playing is just exploding at the moment. So who knows, you know, what the future may hold, but for right now it's only contained because of spacing issues.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, and I've always thought of Total Con as RPGs and board games first, because Total Con, yes, does it very well, and it does everything else very well too, but with the focus on that it gives, there's all these other conventions nearby where you can go and you can do historical gaming, you can do video games. I mean, you get PAX East and all that sort of stuff, and you get these huge ones and the small ones, but very few do board games and RPGs as well as Total Con does. So having that here and having the focus on that, I think, is fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much. And yeah, you have to know your audience. We're right after TempleCon, which has the phenomenal wargaming, mm-hmm, and then you roll right into Havoc and Huzzah right after us. So, yeah, they handle those things expertly, and we have our, you know, main focuses too. So it works. So everybody has a good convention.
Now, last year when I introduced you on the show, I introduced you with a different title than this year. Last year, I referred to you as the media director, and this year I have to refer to you as promotional director. Why is that?
It's just because I don't like the name media director. It's just that was the title that they gave to the email when I first started, and I had to use it, but I never felt that it really described what I did well. So as time has gone on, I'm slowly trying to work people into calling me the promotional director instead.
So your duties are the same. You're not altering what you do. You just give yourself a new title and a gigantic raise, right?
Yes, a huge raise. I went from zero money to zero money.
Yeah, fantastic. It's 1,000% increase.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that difference on the website. I'm thinking, really, promotional director? No, I wonder what this is. Is there any changes here? Or why is that? And I'm like, I have to ask Angela, because I mean, I understood what media director was, but I can understand why you would want something different. Because media, you could spin all sorts of different ways.
Yes.
And not necessarily inappropriate ways for what you do.
Yeah, and like I said, for non-gaming folks, they kind of get it a little bit better if you say promotional director. It makes me sound cooler to my parents.
Well, that's a good enough reason right there.
Yep.
And then there's one other change, too. You have a different last name this time around.
Yes, I do. I went from Hiru to Parento. Or as Blick said, one hard-to-pronounce name to another one.
Last year, I remember, I'm like, how the heck do I pronounce your name? And I think you had to pronounce it for me. But I listened like 3 or 4 times to the episode you did with Blix for his Con Men podcast. And I'm like, okay, I got to listen and listen and do my best to remember how to pronounce this because I'm just going to mess it up. And it's never good when you mess up a guest name. Never. And it always happens to me. I'm like, I got to listen to this. And I'm like trying to memorize it. I'm thinking, okay, how do we, I got it. And then no.
Yes. So, yeah, I got married last October. That's to the fantastic. Events director. But like I told you before, I never really talked about our relationship too much in gaming circles, just because I always wanted to be known as my own person and not necessarily attached to him. I never wanted to be that girlfriend that just hung on doing something because her boyfriend did it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted my own name, my own reputation, and my own way of doing things. So, you know, I've had a couple of people say, oh my God, you're a couple? I'm like, yeah, a couple of what? So, I'm liking him so far.
That's good.
He's a keeper.
I love the picture from your wedding in the Lizzie Borden house.
Yes.
I think that's one of the best wedding pictures I've ever seen. It's fantastic. People who will never be able to see it, which is okay, why don't you describe the picture for us?
Well, we decided to get married at the Lizzie Borden house. It's both our second time, so we just wanted to have fun. We both love Halloween and horror and spooky things. So we decided to get married at the Lizzie Borden house. We dressed in period costumes. And just to have fun afterwards, we recreated some of the scenes from the Lizzie Borden murder, with specifically me hanging over my husband, who was laying on the couch in the spot where Mr. Borden had been, you know, met his untimely demise, with a little hatchet hanging over his head and an evil grin on my face. So,
oh, yeah, priceless.
Yeah, we did. We had fun with it. You know, it was just a small thing with our family and we all had a laugh, you know.
I bet your kids think the picture's hilarious.
Yes, they do. And I have some other ones with me trying to creep up on him with the hatchet and stuff like that. And my father actually went out and bought a little hatchet and etched in it, you know, Lizzie Borden house and stuff. So we had a good time.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yep.
You know, one of these days, maybe with your permission, that picture should make its rounds, because it really, I think, embodies who you are, but also I think it does a good job in a good, really good way, because people might misinterpret it, but I think in a good way of representing the kind of cool geekiness with the interesting twist of comedy that can exist at TotalCon.
Oh, well, thank you.
it manages to kind of cover everything, and it does so subtly. Like, it's very fitting. So when I saw that, I thought, you know what? Not only is this awesome, and it put a big smile on my face, I was like, this is fitting too.
Yeah, we are. We are totally big geeks at heart. I have to admit it.
And actually, too, when I saw that picture, it put your husband in another light for me, because whenever I've seen him, and I'm sure he's the nicest guy, big teddy bear, but whenever I've seen him, he's always come across to me as very stern and frightens me a little bit. And I probably should, but I'm like afraid he's going to like yell at me for, I don't know, something.
Well, he kind of has that effect on people, you know, being 6'2" and tall. And yeah, when he's on site, he's all business, you know. Unfortunately, he mostly gets the job of trying to keep people in line,
mm-hmm.
Because he does it so well. And I realize that. But yeah, he is. If you were here on Tuesday night for game night and you heard him laughing and busting up and having all sorts of fun, you'd realize, yes, he can be quite charming when he wants to be. But when it comes down to business, you know, he gets it done.
Just seeing that picture showed me that softer, geekier side of him. It made me think, do you know what? He's actually probably really approachable. So I'm like, at the con, I'm going to go be like, hey, how are you?
You should. You really should, because he has fun. And if things work out the way I hope they will, you will get to see that funner, softer side later in the evening.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep.
Now, I've heard a rumor, which I know you're not going to confirm or deny, but I have to ask anyway in the hopes that I can somehow trick you into answering this. Now, I heard a rumor that there's going to be a certain movie coming to the con that may have been alluded to on another podcast that was talking about the con. And is that any truth to that, or?
Yes, I can confirm the rumors now that I have the official CD in my hand. Project London will be screened at Total Confusion.
That's fantastic. And now, how do attendees get into that? And more importantly, how do I get access to see this?
It's free. It's not a paid event. So anybody can go into the amphitheater when it's running. It's running on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. So anybody who has their badge can walk right in, sit down, and enjoy the show.
Okay. And will times for that be posted on the event listing or on the website?
They're supposed to go up on the website, hopefully today.
Okay.
Later tonight. And we also post a daily schedule of what's going to be happening in the amphitheater on site. And I'm not positive, but usually it's in the book as well.
Okay. I know last night or the night before, I got your reminder email that you send out to the Yahoo group where you give all these updates about the con, and you're like, oh, it's going to be time to register because pre-reg ends soon. And I thought, wait a sec, I haven't pre-registered yet. I got to So I'm looking through all the events and trying to pick out what I want to do, and I still have to officially submit my pre-registration. But I was looking to see if this was in there, and I didn't see it. And I thought, maybe the rumors I heard were wrong. I don't know.
No, we were actually waiting for one other movie to come through, which finally did. They had a deadline of Friday, and it has arrived, and that's The Justice Squad.
Okay.
It is just a mockumentary about superheroes from Australia. It just looked fun. So that came through as well. Just wanted to make sure we had all our ducks in a row. And a matter of fact, Project London didn't arrive until I think I did a pickup last Monday. So it was only a week ago that we actually got it in our hand. And I never like to really put things out just in case it doesn't arrive. I don't want to disappoint folks. So that's why the movie list had not gone up yet.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm excited for that because there's all sorts of talk, of course, online and on Kickstarter and just all over the place about this thing. So I'm eager to grab a seat, even if I have to push someone out of the way so I can get that seat to see this thing. No, I don't. No, actually, I do mean it, but...
Yeah. No, we are. I'm very honored to have them. We have another. It's just a film short. It's only 12 minutes long. Blood on the Game Dice. And like I said, the full-length feature, The Justice Squad as well.
Oh, that's going to be so good. I feel awful that last year I didn't get to see the documentary Cardboard, I believe it was. And I really, really want to see it. And I guess things just didn't work out. But I know a lot of people who saw it loved it. And I think it's really cool that you can go and see some of these awesome movies, these independent films, at a convention like TotalCon. Because chances are you're not going to be able to see them anywhere else unless you buy them. And if you love it, you should buy it. But why not try it first?
Yeah, I actually wanted to contact Laureen Green and see if... Because in between times, we try to run movies if we can put it in the rotation this year as well. So maybe if we have the time, you might be able to catch it this year instead.
Oh, fantastic. Now, I know this is near the end of the show, and information like this really should go in the beginning. But at the end, it's okay, too. There's still time for people to register and pre-register. So what do they need to do for that?
You can either pre-register online at www.totalcon.com and just hit the registration page. All the event listings are there, and it's available with PayPal. And or you could mail in a registration. The downloadable forms are on the site as well, and that needs to be postmarked by February 15th. And online registration shuts down midnight on February 17th.
So what you're saying is I got to get my butt in gear so I can pre-reg online to get all the cool events that I want to go to.
Yeah, you have 2 weeks left. And be careful because there are some things that are selling out. I know you like the panels, and those are open and free. There's no real official ticket sales, so that's pretty much open. But actual events are selling out.
Yeah, the convention is going to be here before you know it because it starts only for pre-reg, right, on Thursday the 21st. Is that correct?
It starts on Thursday. The pre-reg only is the morning slot.
Okay.
From 8 to noon. The actual kickoff of the convention is at 1 p.m. on Thursday, so that's for everybody. But if you want to play games Thursday morning, you need to pre-reg for those.
Now, for any listeners who are going to the con, I'd love to get a chance to chat with you, and I'm sure Angela would as well. I'll be floating around throughout the con the entire time. I'm arriving to check in at 3 o'clock on Friday / go to the Dice Tower live podcast. I'm not really sure how check-in and listening to a live podcast at the same time is going to work, but I'll find a way, and I'll have my schedule posted on our website and Facebook and on Troll in the Corner and all over the place for all of that. But, Angela, you said the con's web address is totalcon.com. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yep.
And what are some of the other ways that people can keep up to date on what's happening at the con and future cons?
We do have a Twitter account. We do have a Facebook account. We do have a Yahoo group and MySpace as well.
Whoa, MySpace?
Yeah, I know. It's old, but it's still there. What I do is I actually have Twitter, Facebook, and MySpace all connected. So I just post to one and it goes to all three.
Oh, so you might, yeah, you use something like Hootsuite or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. And people actually, do you think people actually look at the MySpace? And I'm just astonished by the MySpace.
I don't think so. But when I actually started out, that was the most active. Now it's the least active.
Facebook must be the most active for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know for a lot of people in other cons, their Twitter feeds are actually the most active. But I find with me anyway, for this podcast, and I know with the Troll in the Corner stuff, Facebook's not as active for Troll in the Corner, but it's the most active for me with this podcast, and Twitter not as much. And I don't think I've ever done a MySpace page. I've seen them. I've heard of the mythical MySpace, but I've never actually done one of those.
Yeah, well, you're talking when I first started, that was like 7-8 years ago. So, you know, that was the thing back then. But yeah, Facebook does pretty well. I'm not very familiar with Twitter, though I'm liking it more and more as time goes on. So who knows?
Well, for anyone who's interested in maximizing their Facebook presence, maybe if you have another con or you're running some events, and I don't know if you've read this, Angela, but if not, I highly recommend it. It's the George Takei book, Oh My. And he's, I mean, obviously a funny guy and the whole, yes, Star Trek background and everything, and the number one most followed person on Facebook. But he has tons of really cool tips if you read his stories on how you can really maximize what you do on Facebook. And as much as I use Facebook all the time, I've done a lot of things wrong, and I've been with Facebook since the very beginning, basically. And I was astonished at how much I did incorrectly. So reading his book, I was like, really? Oh, let me do this. And I'm taking notes while reading it. I mean, it's supposed to make you laugh. And I'm like, this is good. I'm writing this down and jotting that down. And I've noticed a change ever since I started implementing some of the stuff that he does. And I'm like, this is, you know, it's logical and makes sense, and it's really cool. So I can't recommend the book enough for everyone.
Well, that's a very good tip. I think I'll take you up on that.
Well, we are nearing the end of our episode, so I don't want to keep you any longer. But do you have any last-minute cool tips or information or highlights that you want to share with people, or ways to promote people to get into the con?
Good question. I would just say that TotalCon 27 is going to be a really huge event with all the different things between the Dice Tower live recordings and the Catan Championship, the Gygax magazine, Eldritch Enterprises. We have a full list of really cool exhibitors coming in this year, just to demo games like Game Salute and Eagle and Griffin Games. It's going to be phenomenal. There is just, I think, something for everybody at this year, along with some cool premieres that you're not going to get anywhere else in New England this year. So if you don't want to miss it, be there. Prepare now and be there. And get the best for less by pre-regging.
Absolutely. I've been spending a little time every single day trying to plan out what I'm bringing and what I'm doing and working on my schedule. I am looking forward to coming to TotalCon 27, seeing you and seeing all of the other amazing people, industry guests, and the people in the vendor hall, and just other attendees. A lot of cool people, a lot of great stuff happens at TotalCon. So for all of you listeners, be sure to check out the show notes for this episode. You want to head on over to wargamingforums.com/WR86, and we'll have links to TotalCon and a little synopsis of all the stuff that Angela has shared with us here, and all sorts of links, just lots and lots of links to all sorts of stuff. And of course, I'll have lots of really big information trying to get you to go to my event. I was about to talk about last year's event, Daybreak at Hangman's Creek, Battle of Freeman's Farm, for this year. So we'll have that. And of course, we're proud to be listed on the TotalCon website as a contributing sponsor or affiliate membership. And we have a cool link on there that heads over to wargamingforums.com/TotalCon2013 with special information for con attendees. So be sure to check that out and go to the con and look for me, look for Angela, and all sorts of other cool and amazing people. So Angela, thank you so much for making the time and talking with us yet again about TotalCon. It's always a joy having you on here. And I have to say that if the numbers from last year are anything, I know that so many people are going to listen to this episode and they're going to love what you're going to have to say. And I bet I'm going to get quite a bit of awesome feedback about it.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to interview me. It's wonderful. I enjoy talking with you very much. You make it very easy for me. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk about what TotalCon's got going on, because I really believe in what we're doing. And I do believe that people will have a really good time.
It may not be a great thing, but I always think about coming on Wargaming Recon as like a Barbara Walters interview. It's warm and fuzzy. It's not going to get into all the nitty gritty of like your dirty secrets, but you're going to get some cool information and you're going to have a good time.
Well, thank you. I do.
Well, thank you again, Angela. And of course, this is Wargaming Recon. And don't forget, keep on gaming. Well, thank you, Angela. I think that's a wrap.
Oh, good. Awesome. Good, good, good. Took me exactly 1 minute and 35 seconds to giggle, but hey, it's not so bad.
That's how we know it's a legit interview with you.
Yeah.
Oh, that was very good. I can't wait to get this edited and put up, and we'll start promoting it on Facebook and all over the place, and hope some more people come to the con.
Oh, good. That would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I will be seeing you at TotalCon. I know you're going to be very busy in these coming weeks, so it'll be cool to see you there. And don't worry, it'll all get done.
Not a problem.
Alrighty. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. If you enjoy Wargaming Recon, you might enjoy some of the other shows on the network. So here's the lineup. Every Wednesday is a new episode of Indie Talks with Ben Gerber. Ben is the owner of Troll ITC, and on Indie Talks, he covers independent games, movies, television. He performs interviews with guests, gives reviews, and much more. He claims it's a bi-monthly podcast, but actually, you can get a new episode every Wednesday. Geeks Explicitly is a show I co-host with my buddy Drew McCarthy. We release new episodes every Thursday covering all aspects of geek life. Look for reviews, interviews, and much more. Of course, Wargaming Recon is a bi-monthly historical and New England gaming podcast featuring interviews, reviews, convention coverage, giveaways, and much more. Then, Gamer Tunes, another show I do, is a bi-monthly gaming music podcast where you can find music to play in your games, or when you're just chilling with your gaming buddies. All music on the show is either free, freely available via the Creative Commons, or artists have given me permission to play it. You can check GamerTunes twice a month. Finally, Monsters of the Shattered World is a monthly podcast hosted by Brent Newhall. Brent is one of the other editors at trollitc.com. Monsters of the Shattered World is a story-type podcast just like the old Sherlock Holmes radio. If you like any of these, or you just want to see what's going on, please head over to trollitc.com. Be sure to click on the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network logo.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Hi, this is Tristan.
And this is Ben.
And this is Growing Geeks, a podcast where we talk about parenting as geeks
and use our skills to raise the next generation of awesome people.
Ammonium chlorine, and somewhere in between we'll rule the world. Yes, somewhere in between we'll rule the world. We're gonna go down slow. Gonna go down where the flowers grow. Down where the
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
If you heard it and you do like it, good. If you don't like it, what I'm supposed to do.